I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Guys, welcome to another Definitely Dying. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Ben, how's it going?
Pretty good. By and large, things are pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had like a little thing. I saw a picture of me and I didn't like it. It's really sort of got in my head.
No, What do you mean?
Just like a candid picture of me, and I didn't like the way it looked. It gave me body issues.
I hate a candid picture.
Yeah.
Too many pictures. I hate how easy it is to see a bad picture of yourself, like with social media.
I know.
It's and then, so easy.
And then you have to feel self-conscious about whether or not you say something about them.
Yes.
Like in this situation or obviously the one where, nobody wants to be that person that's like, hey, could you take that picture of me down?
Yeah.
But most of us kind of want that picture of us taken
down. Yeah. I used to not care. And then in the past several years, there are some very old pictures where I really look like garbage that I untagged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I just went through and untagged all of them so that I could be sort of indiscriminate about the specific ones.
Wait,
I didn't.
You untagged every photo of yourself on social media.
Yeah.
After this unflattering photo?
No, I did it a while ago.
Oh, okay.
And then since this one's not in the public domain.
Okay.
It's just somebody took a picture of me. We were hanging out.
Yeah.
They took a quick picture. I looked at the picture. I was like, no, that's not what I look like. You took a picture of someone else.
Yeah.
You took a picture of a bad man.
Oh, I hate that feeling. I have had that feeling with I have had the distinct pleasure of seeing many photos taken of myself doing improv, already kind of an unflattering activity.
Yeah.
And I've looked at a lot of those pictures and been like, oh no.
Yeah, no.
That's what I look like?
And it's just, the worst time to be... it's one thing when somebody isn't... It's one thing when you take a picture of somebody when they aren't smiling for the camera or they're not posing.
Yeah.
It's another thing when you take a picture of, somebody, mid-bite or mid-sentence or just stand... on the improv.
Yeah.
In improv, you're either doing something active or you're standing and watching someone do something active.
Yeah.
And there's nothing weirder than watching yourself watch yourself or
nothing.
Watch someone else.
Watch it's so it's so unflattering.
Yeah.
And it's and I also it's weird because I've seen the way my body looks a lot. Because I have done enough things where someone shot it and then I've watched videos of myself moving in real time in the world.
Yeah.
I know what I look like.
Uh-huh.
But somehow when you see a bad picture of yourself,
that
replaces all of the scientific evidence that you've seen telling yourself what you look like.
Oh, yeah.
And you become that one picture where your arm looks fucking huge and you have three chins.
Yeah.
And you look like a person you've never seen before.
Right. And it's weird because if someone else said that to you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even acknowledge it. You wouldn't say somebody sees a weird picture of themselves and you're just like, that's a weird picture of you. Weird pictures exist. But man, the way that we internalize those weird pictures when they're of us, that's just who, in the same way that I know we've talked about this before, but I can't own a scale because I can't have evidence present at any point of what it is, how much my body weighs, which is not to say that it weighs too much.
No.
It's just the being able to quantify what I weigh is not a healthy thing. Being able to find an actual visual articulation of what my body looks like, it's just not a good thing.
No,
It's weight. Your weight fluctuates. Pictures can look different from, from one moment to the next.
Yes.
But when you got when you just got that hard evidence,
it plays with your brain in a really unhealthy way.
Yeah.
I don't weigh myself as a policy. I haven't weighed myself in probably the last time I remember being on a scale was maybe like a year ago at the doctor.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and it's like
more
not.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just can't, like, because I'll feel great. I'll be, mm-hmm. you know, like healthy or like I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm like exercising. I'm like treating my body in a way where like on a day to day basis, like I feel pretty good and happy. Yeah. And then it's like stepping on a scale and having the number like not be what you think it should be.
Right.
Like that becomes the reality instead mm-hmm. of the reality of like the again, of the evidence that you're seeing every day that
yeah.
like you're like as healthy as you gotta be.
Right.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like it's just so crazy how much your brain can manipulate
mm-hmm.
like the feedback that it's being given.
Yeah. And the truth is that if the person wants to do the sorts of things that will manifest on the scale as making progress,
yeah.
they're actually usually not all that healthy.
No.
If you're seeing a drastic decrease in your weight from day to day, you're probably starving yourself.
Yeah.
Or you're just doing something very unhealthy.
Weight fluctuates so much
exactly.
over the course of a day and also is not – yeah, it's like not – that number specifically is like not an indicator
no.
of how healthy you are. And like, yeah, just like, I don't know. I feel like I am constantly on a quest to become like more comfortable with just like the fluidity of life
yeah.
and the fact that like everything happens in seasons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just like, and to me, like stepping on a scale with any kind of regularity is like very much counteracts that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We don't do it.
We don't
Folks
do
at
it.
Home, you don't do it either.
Don't do it.
Just
don't step on a scale.
Be happy being you.
Yeah.
Or don't, but for legit reasons. Yeah. So, I don't know. Want to
yeah.
start a podcast?
Yeah. Let's start a podcast.
Nice. Wait, this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, let's
okay.
this one.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Okay.
Oh, we have just a great guest for you this week. He's our buddy Dan Lippert. You know him from Big Grande, the comedy group, who is just so funny. They're responsible for The Teacher's Lounge, which is a new miniseries podcast available on the Howl. Is it Howl? Dan, you can just chime in. Is it a specific Howl? How does Howl work these days?
I think it's just the Howl app or
okay.
network. If you're subscribed to Howl, you can listen to it.
And you can get a free month if you type in teachers in the and wherever you type things that get you free things.
Yeah, just
yeah.
type
yeah,
around.
Yeah,
click
down.
Anything that yeah, seems like you might be able to type in it.
Yeah, if you can type there, type teachers.
If you
see
use
what
the
happens.
Word teachers in an email,
yeah.
you can get a discount.
Yeah, you just
yeah,
have
yeah.
to show them a picture.
Yeah, show a picture of some of your teacher, and you can get a free month of Howl. You also know him from the UCB house team Winslow, who have a show on, is it Saturday nights? Friday nights at
9:30.
I should have asked that before I started recording a podcast.
I don't mind.
Friday at 9:30. See, Winslow, Dan's a member of that team with a bunch of other fine folks, some of which you've heard on this podcast before. They're at UCB Franklin, and heck, that feels like a pretty concise intro.
What did you think, Dan?
How
did that intro feel?
How'd
that
go?
I thought that intro was engaging. You know, if you just rattle them off, people won't remember
it's true.
Them.
Yeah,
if you spend a lot of time in each
yeah.
one.
Yeah, you got to really make a meal of each thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I engaged.
Uh-huh. uh-huh.
So I did good, everyone. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah,
we're really happy to
me.
Have you.
Definitely dying podcast.
Are you definitely dying?
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah, everybody is.
It's just a matter of how quick.
So, Dan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you say you think about death?
I had so much time to prepare for this question, and I still couldn't decide. Like, I heard other
yeah.
people's answers. But I would say, like 5 to 6.
Five to six.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that mean to you?
It means I am afraid to leave my house at night.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
But I, like, don't get stressed out. Like when people are like, you know, if you're it's crazy that every day we hurtle down the streets in 60 miles per hour in steel boxes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't bug me.
Okay. Why?
When you said that at first, I thought you said and steel boxes. Like that's steel boxes. Like, 60 miles an hour, we're stealing boxes. We got no fear.
You know the saying.
We're all just a bunch of box thieves running around this earth.
So with the way I live my life is a box thief. I'm inviting that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, because if I was a box thief, that's how I'd want to go out. You know?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
doing what I
yeah.
love.
Yeah. Yeah. Stealing those boxes.
At 60 miles an hour.
You have to get so fast to be able to be a box thief.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's all by hand.
Why are you afraid to leave your house at night?
I have to walk my dog at night. Uh-huh. And I live in like a fine area.
Yeah.
And I am scared that I will, one, be mauled by a coyote.
Mm-hmm. That seems like a legit fear to me.
I agree. And but the numbers are like, there's like 2 coyote attacks a year and almost 0 fatal ones.
Okay.
Ever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And they are small like dogs. Yeah. Like I would say Stella's probably bigger than most coyotes.
Stella is like coyote sized, which in my mind is like, oh, so the coyote will want to get into it with her.
Because
I don't know coyote logic.
You think a coyote wouldn't want to get into it with a little dog?
I think you can't follow it. They're crazy, man.
Yeah.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
So you they're do know coyote logic. No, it doesn't exist. They're wild.
Their job is to hunt and eat things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they say it's like they eat like small, like rabbit sized animals.
Yeah.
But for all I know, like 3 of them could see me and be like, that's a meal.
Mm-hmm. And they're thirsty these days.
They're very thirsty.
They're very thirsty. And I think things like everyone goes crazy when they're thirsty.
Yeah, true. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's why everybody gets wild. I feel like all kinds of like crazy things happen when it gets hot.
Yeah.
In LA, I feel like it's because everybody's too thirsty.
Yeah, we're too thirsty.
Yeah. They're like,
They're just like irritable and sweaty.
No,
they're
like thirsty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because you get thirsty enough, eventually that thirst turns to blood.
Yeah.
Well, it's what little I know about coyote logic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'm scared that someone's just, I'm scared that any car that drives by me at night is going to shoot me.
Oh, you're afraid to drive by?
Yeah.
For how long? Is it always, when did that start?
Since I've lived alone, or not alone, but like on my own, away from my family.
So in college, were you scared of a drive-by?
No, I don't think like on a campus I was.
Mm. Right, right.
But then I went to USC, which isn't like the safest neighborhood around this. Like there were shootings around there. I wasn't super scared around USC to go around at night. It must have been, it's now, since college, I would say, in Los Angeles.
Have you ever known anyone who was shot?
No.
Have you ever known anybody who was like in the family of shot, like stabbed or have you ever known someone who was like badly attacked?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So it would be, so you could be the one.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I know one person that was jumped that we all know, but I feel like it's his story. So I won't say.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like he was jumped on like Franklin and Norman.
Yeah.
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 But no, I've never known anyone who's had that experience.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning also, you're a very tall man. Just
I'm
for
like,
anybody who's not seen your body.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
If you haven't seen my body, I'm like 6'7", like 225.
I feel bad. We always start by describing someone's body of work, but we never describe their actual body. It's a mistake we make.
Yeah. Both the men and women on this podcast will appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
The task of describing your body is so weird.
And I'm like some people are very good at being observant and are like, oh, that you know that girl who had like the plaid shirt on and the brown hair? Like, I'm bad at that. So if I had to describe someone, it would be like, you know, like the lumpy.
I can't even do that. I would just be like, no, the one that got murdered. I'm trying to just tell you, the one who got murdered. You don't remember the one who got murdered? You couldn't describe her as a person.
Yeah.
Other than she has things sticking out of her.
That's
now,
her thing. She was killed.
Yeah.
But so, I like, there is no logic to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am scared all of, I 3 to 4 times a week, I would say, run through my gate back to my house when a car is slowing down by me with my dog, like a child would. Like a child would run to mommy.
Yeah.
I do that.
And only in the nighttime.
Yeah.
Because a drive-bys happen in the day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But there's something about the night that makes it. I think because I am scared if I'm in a situation where there are not a lot of people around.
Yeah. Right. That's a legit – like, that's never been a fear of mine until moving to L.A.
Oh, sure.
And I think it's just something – it's like a necessary fear in L.A.
Sure.
Because people won't help you either.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Especially not in particularly fatal situations.
Yeah.
Like, they're – yeah. I feel like it's kind of hard to get someone to give you directions in L.A. because they don't want to – because people just don't want to stop.
Yeah.
To get them to stop when you were actually – like, when you were just noticeably in trouble, nearly impossible.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think that I would stop.
You wouldn't stop if – like, let's say outside your – you're, like, opening your door to your place or the gate to get into your apartment building, wherever you live, and – a block away, you see someone getting mugged.
Just mugged?
Yeah.
Just like they're just losing money?
At gunpoint.
Okay. I don't know. It's hard to say because, I would tell them to just give up your money. Like that's what we always tell someone who's getting mugged.
Yeah.
Just like, don't try to be a hero or whatever. So then the thought is that I would heed that same advice. Only what I know about myself is that I'm 50% a hero, meaning like I always want to throw myself into the danger, and then I get close enough for it to be dangerous, and then I start to back away because I'm kind of a fraidy cat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that you would be a hero? Do you have the instinct to be a hero, like just hypothetically?
I don't know. I honestly couldn't answer that. I'd logically like to say yes.
Yeah.
But I am also a coward, so I don't know.
I mean, there's...
What about you?
I think I think of myself as a hero, but I also have no abilities. Like,
right.
You know, like, I won't go into detail because I've told the story on the podcast before, but, like, you know, like one time, like, I saw, like, a big guy kind of roughing up his girlfriend, and I was, like, with Ben, not this Ben, my husband Ben, and I went up to them and, like... Like, there were a bunch of people around, so it wasn't, like, I didn't feel that scared because I was like, he's not going to, like, do something to a random woman with all these bystanders. But, like, Ben was so mad at me because he was like, this is, like, obviously a crazy man if he's, like, you know, kind of, like, manhandling his girlfriend in a jack-in-the-box parking lot, like, across from the arc light. Like, if you're worried.
When you said.
Yeah,
that,
right?
That, yeah.
Like, so... And he's like, if you were really worried, you should have just, like, called the police. So, like, I have, like, sort of a half a – like, I feel like I'm always waiting for the moment where I have to choose between my own well-being and my – like, and somebody else's. And I'm always, like – I'm very afraid of choosing the wrong – of, like, taking the coward's way out. So I think it, like, kind of makes – but I don't know that I would actually be able to help anybody in a situation. Like, seeing someone, like, robbed at gunpoint – I wonder what I would do because if I was like, hey, like when I just get shot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, definitely.
And maybe
the last
them
thing you
too?
Want to do is startle someone with a gun. I think we have to let this person die.
Okay.
I would call 911 for sure.
You call 911.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I would call 911.
Yeah. You don't have to say that. If you want to let them die, you can.
I mean, I don't want to let them die. It's just that I guess I would, you know. Some stranger's getting mugged. It's hard to want to go over there.
Yeah.
It's like the one that you described feels different, where someone is hurting their significant, you know, a man hurting a woman.
Yeah.
That feels different than like mugger stealing money.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
money
yeah.
is just like, what are we going to do?
Yes.
Like it's
yes.
money. But like, yeah. Yeah. I guess there's a part of me that believes that I would step in if I thought like someone was if somebody was in like the kind of danger that suggested that they don't love themselves enough because they're staying with like a bad man kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, if bad things happen in the world, I can't stop them all.
No, you certainly can't stop them all.
Just 90%. 95%. Can we talk about diabetes?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Thought you'd never ask.
It only took 30 episodes.
Yeah, that's right. So So you were telling me the other day that you feel like you have all the symptoms, but you've gone undiagnosed. Correct?
Yeah. Well, I never noticed this, but I pee. I can pee 3 times in an hour.
Yeah.
Like, I pee a lot. And I drink a lot of water. Like, I would say I am a candidate for evil based on Madeline's theory. Because I am always thirsty.
Yeah.
And so that's just how I live my life. And then, like, I started spending a lot of time with groups of people for a long period of time, like writing with Big Grande or, yeah. like, you know, I like, teach sketch and like coach improv, and you realize like I've just got to leave the room a bunch and people start to become aware of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, the first symptom of diabetes is like when you look it up is like peeing too much.
Somebody said that to you?
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, maybe I have diabetes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But you drink a lot.
I drink a lot of water. But I would also say that I start the day off with like, I start the day off very thirsty. I don't know if that's how everybody does, but I start the day. When I wake up, I should probably have like 5 cups of water.
Oh my gosh!
To get my pee not dark yellow.
Oh, whoa! Wow.
Yeah.
So 5 cups, like 40 ounces of water, like 5 out of the 8 that they say that you should drink in. A
yeah,
day,
my daily intake. I should do
immediately.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
do you drink a lot before bed too?
I try to, but not
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But what I usually do is I have like 1 or 2 cups of water. And then I have a cup of coffee, and so then I'm thirsty for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because of the coffee.
Coffee will really suck the water out of you.
Yeah. and your pee's really yellow.
Generally. I work very hard to get it.
I try to get it clear. That's my goal for every day.
Mine too.
Yeah. Yours too?
No, it's not. It's just a funny goal for you guys.
it's true. I try to drink enough water that I'm peeing a steady clear all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like if I'm doing like this or like if I have a something that makes me nervous, I dry out a lot more.
Yeah.
So I either have to choose to be thirsty while I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or I have to choose to have to pee within 20 minutes.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And you're from a desert climate.
Yeah, I'm from Arizona.
So you should have a camel-like
liquid
consistency.
My nickname in high school was Camel.
Really?
Is that true?
That's true.
Why?
Ted Tegas once said that I looked like a camel.
That you looked like a camel.
That's right, yeah. And that, you know, it didn't catch on because it's not a cool sounding nickname.
No.
Nor is it accurate. You don't look like a camel.
Hey, camel.
Thank
yeah, it's like
much.
Not Tegas? Fun to say really for some. Yeah.
Yeah.
Camel.
Ted was like the nick. He like gave everyone their nickname.
He did. What was his nickname?
He was son of Dingo because his dad was Dingo.
Did he give his dad that nickname?
I can't remember how Dingo got his nickname, but I'm pretty sure it was Ted.
Yeah. He's the king of nicknames.
He was a funny nickname guy. There was a girl that he nicknamed Super Triple Hot. There was a girl nicknamed House 4 because he would always see her house. The buildings in our school were called houses, house 1, 2, 3, and 4. And he would poop in house 4, and he would always try to avoid seeing her on his way to pooping.
So,
house 4.
What, say his name again? Ted what?
Tegas.
Ted Tegas.
Tegas.
That's just a classic name.
Son of Dingo.
Yeah, Dingo. Yeah,
Dingo Tegas? That was his name?
His dad would have been Dingo Tegas.
Dingo Tegas. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Sounds like a blues guitarist.
Oh, Dingo Tegas.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about these symptoms. Should we delve into the symptoms?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, let's go through the top 10 symptoms, or at least some of them, until we forget that we're doing this, which is a habit that I have.
Mm-hmm. I'll keep you on track.
Yeah. Anyone who's ever taken my class knows I stopped teaching a lesson about 5 minutes into it. I think I was teaching something. Numbness in the hands. That's a symptom. Do you get the numbness in the hands?
You know, I do sometimes.
Really?
But I know what that's from.
What is that from?
I have like neck and back problems, and so sometimes like when a nerve gets weird, I'll feel it in my hands.
Too. Oh.
Yeah.
Have you always had neck and back problems, or did it thing
more
happen?
So the past like 5 years?
Yeah. I have.
All of my stuff is relatively boring. I have foot problems. My right foot, for some reason, I can't find a shoe that it fits comfortably
in.
Really? Yeah.
Can I see it?
See, a lot of this.
It looks fine.
Can we take a picture?
Let's check that feet.
It's just a foot.
Take your shoe off.
Get that
we'll
foot
take
out.
A pic. I'll get a foot. We'll put it on the podcast. Is that okay?
But yeah, it's like not, it's so uninteresting to look at. So here, I'll point to where it hurts.
Okay, great.
Also.
Oh, that's great. That's
oh, yes. Like, is that the instep?
I think
this is,
or is the opposite the instep?
This is the insole right here.
Okay,
I don't know what this is called.
Yeah, I can get a like a bruise on that bone sometimes. Yeah. I have big. What size feet do you wear? Or shoes? Which I
size 16.
Oh, so you're bigger. Yeah, I'm a 14. But in that same category of we have to like actually spend some time finding shoes. Like,
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
just gonna like we can't just like roll into a Foot Locker and leave with a hot set of kicks.
I can't find shoes easily either.
Yeah, you got good lady feet.
Yeah,
right?
I got big old lady feet. Yeah, I got like
you got
good lady feet. I do. My feet are very. You didn't ask me to show them to you, but I will because I think they're. I think I've got creepy feet.
We all will.
I didn't ask because I got told to stop asking.
Feet on display.
I have very big but narrow feet, and they're like.
Oh, so that makes it hard. I thought narrow would make it easier to find.
No, because if they're too wide, it aggravates my. Bunions. The shoes I'm wearing right now I think look cool, but they're not comfortable at all. So I only wear them when I know I'm going to be mostly sitting.
Oh,
yeah. But look at – I also don't wear them with socks, so my feet don't smell good. But, like, don't I have, like, creepy – I think they're creepy. I think they're, like, slightly kind of – and, like, I have that thing where my toe, my middle toe is longer.
Toe.
Yeah. Or I guess my ring finger, whatever that.
Yeah, you got long fingers.
Yeah, and I have, like, forming – you see these – are like baby bunions.
Is that what a bunion is?
Yeah.
And
it's like,
on the side?
Yeah. And it's basically, I think, the bone of your toe kind of getting ready to poke out. Right. And my grandma had really bad bunions. So I've seen them. They're horrible. And so that's why I only, like a few years ago, I switched to like almost exclusively wearing like New Balance type shoes.
Yeah, I only wear New Balance.
Is to keep those bunions at bay.
New Balance.
Bunions at bay.
Have you been to a New Balance store?
Yeah. I had the perfect pair of New Balances. They were the most comfortable shoe I ever owned. Mm-hmm. And now they don't exist anymore.
Oh, really?
And I've tried other New Balances and they don't work for my foot problem.
Put this one on.
Okay. It's a 14.
We're trading shoes here. We're trading shoes. What size shoe do you guys wear?
This is a
I'm 16 and he's 14.
I've noticed is that from the running collection, those are the ones that kind of work.
Oh, these are nice. They're very light.
Yeah. That's part of it. That's part of it is that the there's more dragging with a heavy shoe.
Yeah. What is this? This is the fresh the Zanta.
The Zanta
version fresh 2 foam. Fresh foam.
Did you put it on your foot?
Yeah.
Did it feel good?
It was very comfortable.
Oh.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Try it. The problem is sometimes when I first try one on, I won't notice, and then I'll walk around I'll buy them, walk around in them enough time that they're dirty, and then realize that they don't work on my right foot.
I've bought shoes and put painter's tape on the bottom of them and
walked
around with them. Like, I was, like, trying to buy, like, a nice pair of boots, and I bought this like $100 pair of boots and then just walked around with painter's tape to see if they would be comfortable or uncomfortable, like in a practical setting. And they were uncomfortable and I had to like scrape the tape off.
That's
it's a great, I would call that a life hack.
Yeah, that's a great life hack.
Yeah.
That's a hack.
That's a hackling.
Yeah, right. Tune in for more hackling.
But so that. Foot stuff leads to like hip stuff, leads to back stuff.
Oh,
and I also have like neck back problems from I can't find the perfect pillow. I can't sleep on my back because my tonsils are too big.
You got
Ben's
a lot of stories.
Ben Green's tonsils are too big too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And we both have the same shirt from The Gap.
You do.
We have so much in common.
Same. But you're have you ever thought about getting them out or no?
I have. And you asked me before this how often I get sick.
Yeah, yeah.
I get sick probably every 2 months.
I'm remembering this now. You get like a tonsillitis thing constantly.
Yeah, I have chronic tonsillitis.
Yeah.
Which was diagnosed in high school. And then I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor in high school when I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, in order for me to take your tonsils out, I want to see them get bad 3 times.
What?
And I was like, fuck you, I'm not coming back.
No.
Like, just take them out or don't. But I'm not.
Goddamn Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I want to see them get bad 3 times.
And it's like a specialist is hard to see.
You know
what I mean? You can't just go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
No.
It's like a whole thing. And like sometimes you need referrals or whatever. So I it was like, all right, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
My dad was an older guy, and so he was like very much, and he grew up on a farm, so he was very much like, yeah, you wouldn't have anything that you don't need. And was like, like, you know, I had throat problems forever, and then they stopped when I was in my 30s, so you'll be fine. And it's like, I hope so.
Yeah.
But like, now I'm thinking about getting them out again because I'm literally sick every 2 months.
Yeah.
And I can't sleep on my back.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Do you think that how much of like the physical ailments that you were describing do you think is the result of the world just not being built for tall people?
That's a good question. I think it's one of those things where you go through life thinking everybody is dealing with the same problems as you, and then you realize they're not.
And they're not.
And like, I just like assume like, oh, these are just little problems I'm going to have forever. And then people are like, you should get that looked at.
Yeah.
My shoulders pop out all the time.
What?
Like
they pop out all the
time? Yeah. Like if you put your hand on it, if you want to. Like, it's kind of painful.
Well, you can feel it though.
Yeah,
it's like not out of socket where someone has to pop it back in.
Yeah, yeah.
But any sort of thing, I play basketball, and just like a pass will pop it out, and that's excruciating.
Gosh.
You're not expecting it.
That's terrible.
But that's apparently a thing that happens to tall guys sometimes.
Oh.
I wonder how.
You just had a big shoulder problem.
Yeah, I always
have
shoulder
problems. You're very tall.
I mean, I think it's a similar kind of thing that. You know, like it sounds like an oversimplification, but like when we bend down to tie our shoes, that's just more of an ordeal than it is for other people.
Yeah.
And if you do that enough times over, like, you know, I've been tying my shoes for 10, 15 years at this point.
yeah, we should point out those New Balances were very poorly tied.
Very, very poorly tied. Yeah.
There's just a bunch of scotch tape wrapped around.
There was a staple in them.
We should point out, I was very poorly raised. no, but these things are more of an ordeal, and if you go through them enough times over the course of a lifetime, then eventually these things start to atrophy a little bit, you know, your back or your shoulders or, you know, I mean, I've just noticed that because of my height, and you're even taller than I am, that looking at a computer screen results in me bending my back in a particular way that will inevitably lead to lower back issues. It's just a question of when.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Driving a car. If I'm not driving like a Honda Element or like a Kia Soul, a boxy car.
Like
which
a weird tall car. Yeah.
I have to hunch to see under the
that's crazy.
Windshield.
We might have talked about it at some point on this podcast, but I remember seeing an episode of Louie where he talks about or where he goes in to a doctor about some back problems that he's having. And the answer that he's given by this doctor is that all those times where your back isn't hurt, that's the anomaly. Because we haven't evolved into people that are supposed to be walking upright. In 20,000 years, our backs won't hurt anymore from standing up. But until then, we're supposed to be walking around on – we're not like all fours like a cat, but like a bear does, you know? Like, we're basically just big old bears. Only not that big.
Speaking of diabetes – can we take a break? I got a pee now.
Diabetes.
I thought I had diabetes like several years back too because of how much I pee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, which like I'm sure like there's people with diabetes listening to this being like,
fuck you guys. With your healthy levels of water intake, of course you have to pee, you stupid assholes. Oh, isn't it funny to think you might have a debilitating disease that makes me have to drive to a hospital once a week?
Like, shut up, Casey, I'm thirsty.
Shout out to our friend Casey Treeler, who does have diabetes.
Yeah.
I always think I have diabetes based on having to pee too much every time my wiener gets heavy and painful. It feels like I go to the bathroom and like all kinds of liquid comes out, and then I don't think I have diabetes anymore.
Wait,
is that normal to you guys?
Are you going to the bathroom actually? Like what?
Yeah. I pee out a bunch of pee, and then I'm like, I don't have to pee anymore. Maybe I don't have diabetes. Does that seem normal to you guys?
It sounds like maybe you're horny.
Oh, you're right.
Your wiener gets heavy and painful.
Yeah, it gets heavy and painful.
Can I ask you guys a question since we were just on a pee break?
Yeah.
Do you guys wash your hands when you pee?
I do,
Every time?
I used to not, but I've gotten more germophobic in the past couple of years. I used to Rarely wash my hands after peeing. Always right. after pooping, but not uh-huh. after peeing.
And what about you?
Do I wash my hands after I pee?
Yeah.
50-50, I'd say. Yeah. You?
Only if I feel like I will be around people where I'll be shamed for not doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Or if I pee on my hands or, like, have touched toilet or something like that.
Yeah. I have touched toilet.
Touching toilet.
I have
welcome to touch toilet.
Sometimes, can I tell you something? One scenario where sometimes if I'm at something that I'm nervous about, like a job interview or an audition that feels important, I will not wash my hands because I feel like it's a secret that I have that they don't know.
Oh,
like
wow.
It's like a power move,
it's
kind
your
of
ass
where
ass
I'm
pennies.
Like, yeah, it's exactly my
that's
ass.
That's crazy.
Pennies. Yes,
that makes you a little crazy.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Then, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, like it's
like
almost like a little
knowing you have power over somebody.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me go like, what you don't know is I didn't wash my hands.
Does it work?
No.
Because they're like, what you don't know is we don't need you.
Yeah, they're like, what you don't know is you're chasing an incredibly futile dream and you are one in literally a million.
Who also didn't wash their hands.
That's great. I wish I did wash my hands so I could start doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wipe my butt. And not tell them.
Do you get an itchy butt? Do you guys get itchy
I've
butt?
I've had the itchiest butt. That's funny you ask.
Me too.
This
like
past
lately.
Week, my butt has been so itchy.
Like in
your,
a place.
Inside your butt or
what do you
on
think
your
it
butt
is?
Cheeks? Like around your butt hole or on the cheeks?
Hole.
Like yes, in it though, I have got. Like, I've
but
certainly.
Like around
yeah.
like the outside, but near the butthole or like right, like in it. Like
it,
you gotta
oh,
go
yeah.
in.
Oh, yeah. Inside or around.
I don't.
Because inside, we learned from Susie Barrett.
Could be pinworms.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But, no, mine is more outer and then like a touch of inside.
You maybe
like,
you're wiping too hard?
Like exterior sphincter. Probably.
What have your.
Could be a hemorrhoid.
Have you had. Tricky poops?
Tricky poops. Well, yeah, it's been happening a little bit. I've been doing Blue Apron, and I made myself
nice.
A chicken dinner. And I had the other half of it the next day.
Uh-huh.
And literally, like, right after my last bite, I had the worst diarrhea.
Whoa.
And then everything.
Was there rice?
Was there rice? No, it was like a chicken. Maybe there was rice, actually.
We learned that you shouldn't reheat rice.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what? Apparently, a rice has a bacteria in it that goes away when you cook it, but comes back very quickly
really?
When it goes back to room temperature.
Yeah. Well, that's what yeah, – there. I think there was like orzo. Is orzo what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
That,
but orzo
is
not
– it's a grain.
Yeah, but I don't know if
it's – not a rice, though.
It's not rice, though. It's a pasta. It's like a rice-shaped pasta.
Okay. That would have been a great answer.
Yeah, it would
I
have.
Wish it was that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, I had diarrhea all day. And since then, I've had a pretty itchy butthole.
I bet it was the diarrhea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just went too hard.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I mean, I always
you have an itchy butthole all the time.
I've had an itchy butthole for like a while, but in an area where like it either I have a hemorrhoid or I mean, I know I wipe too good. I mean, I've talked about it on this podcast before. It look, guys, it's my cross to bear. I wipe too hard, but
you're like a no residue wiper.
No, yeah, I'm terrified of the thought that like also like it when you don't wipe good enough and then you get like that itch. Yeah, that's like one of my I would say my least favorite itch.
Yeah. I wipe how I live, fast and loose.
I honestly know how that applies to your wiping more than your lip. Okay, should we go back to the so we all kind of I think we're all suspicious that maybe we have a touch of the beatus.
Yeah. Okay, so you have numb hands, so but it's largely yeah.
Let's play a game that Madeline and I invented. Well, not invented, but we yeah. came up with but never actually played, which is I don't remember what we called it, but it's that one where we try to figure out who has it, you know?
Uh-huh.
We'll go through all these symptoms.
The most
yeah.
symptoms.
Yeah, we'll figure out who here Dan, you can take this pen.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep track of who's got the most symptoms.
Great.
So the first one was numbness. Let's remember numbness. So right. Dan and I have that. Madeline
also pees a lot.
Yeah. So pees is next.
Okay. So numbness. Right. I don't have numbness, but I have very poor circulation. Like my hands and my feet are always ice cold. Does that count?
Yeah, we'll count.
Yeah,
it.
We'll okay. count that. Great. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, this is a hypochondriac podcast. We're not gonna.
Great.
What's the term?
Pull punches?
Yeah, we won't pull punches.
We're not going to split hairs?
Split hairs. That's what I'm looking for.
No,
pull punches
pork.
And split hairs.
We're not going to pull pork.
Ooh, sounds good.
So good.
Okay, so frequent urination.
Uh-huh.
I don't have it. You guys do.
I do.
Okay,
yeah.
So
really
that's one for each of you.
Really
I'm counting on my hands.
Okay.
I got it.
Do you want a piece of paper?
That's all right.
Okay.
Okay.
So Dan's got two, Madeline's got two, and I've got one.
I was writing the words. I didn't know I could just make tick marks.
Yeah, you do ticks.
I wrote numbness and peas a lot in the list.
Okay, here's one.
Okay.
Increase in appetite.
Increase.
You guys been real hungry lately?
Well, I'm always hungrier than people are supposed to be, I think.
Then give it a tick.
Yeah, I'm hungry all the time.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like when you eat with people, do you feel like people are always done before? Like people, like if you're in a family style situation, do you feel like people always get full before you?
I finished first, but eat the most.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I would say I don't know that I have an answer to that.
Yeah.
I would say I'm friends with people who are equally as slobby as I am.
Yeah, I feel – yeah,
so,
I guess I do eat a lot.
You know, we all probably eat the most as quickly.
Yes.
I eat like Dan Shits, fast and loose. okay. So
but I'm going to say yes.
We're all taking a tick.
I'm
going to
say yes, too. I'm hungry all the time.
So you guys have three ticks. I have two ticks.
Okay.
Okay. Blurry vision. I don't have it.
With or without my glasses?
I have
my glasses, my vision is getting worse. More blurry.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Three.
Is that right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I also see three. But they're very blurry. I see three blurs.
I see three, but they're not fingers.
You guys see three blurs. I only see two ticks.
I don't have diabetes.
Okay, so...
say no, probably.
No.
You can take vision worsening.
It is. Okay, yeah. I'll take it.
Damn, Madeline's up to four.
Yeah, I'm
Dan's
telling
at
you.
Three, and I'm at two.
I'm feeling a comeback, though.
Yeah.
Itchy, dry skin.
No. Itchy butthole.
Oh, yes.
Itchy,
skin overall. All right.
Skin, yeah. I'll take it.
I'm taking it. Nice.
But my skin is very soft and smooth.
I get itchies.
I get itchies.
But also, I'm one of those people that if you talk about itchies, I get itchies. You know? So I don't know. If that might not be diabetes. That's probably just...
Would you say you have anxiety problems?
Yeah.
You can get itchy from anxiety, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely get anxiety-induced itch.
Yeah, me too. So, I don't think – I wouldn't describe myself as dry and itchy, though.
Okay. I'm going to take a point for it because I
do. Yeah.
I guess give Madeline that point.
Madeline is one of all the diabetes
points.
Give her
the dry and itchy point. Here
it is. Okay, we're going to take away Madeline's increase in appetite and replace it with this skin,
with
the dry
and itchy.
Yeah.
Ugly, itchy skin.
Fair. Crispy skin. Gross.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. I only wrote down one word that doesn't apply to the symptoms.
What did you write down?
Unexplained. I don't know. You guys feel unexplained in any way? I mean, I don't feel like people get me. Diabetes, number four.
I'll give me a tick mark.
Yeah, we all got a tick.
Yeah, I'm unexplained.
Madeline's definitely misunderstood. People are trying to accuse her of having dry, itchy skin.
Yeah, nobody understands. Nope. My skin's not dry or itchy. True.
This one we've all got. I know it for a fact. Unquenchable thirst.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've got an unquenchable thirst just for adventure.
More of a knowledge guy, but I feel you. Okay. Here's one. This one, I don't know about this one. Let's discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
Slow healing cuts. I don't get cut that much, so it's hard to say. But I know I bruise really easily, and they stay for a long time, mm-hmm. as evidenced by my...
your chest bruise.
Yeah, my chest bruise.
Oh, yeah.
I had a torso incident.
There was nothing less fun than hearing Madeline feel
We really try to create some utterly unfun moments.
I mean, it was compelling.
Yeah.
So far, our most successful games / segments have been the ones where we just make noises into a microphone and deprive people of any visual whatsoever.
Do you guys do like a click and clack thing where it's like, I'm not sure what I have, but it's
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sort of why this thing started in the first place. what do you guys have? What do you guys think about these slow healing cuts?
I think yours, that's worrisome.
The bruising.
I don't. I heal pretty quickly. I think
I do too.
I scar, but I heal quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a point for me. And
I think I heal okay.
You heal okay.
Yeah. I don't get cut a ton, but I have had a lot of random little bruises on my legs lately.
Yeah, you definitely – you bruise pretty easily.
I think
but
so,
but you don't bruise as dark as I bruise, but you definitely bruise.
I have like a little bruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get like – I'm like a banana.
Let's – I think you get that point.
But that just means you're sweeter.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like a –
I'm like a very green banana. okay, last one, I think. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, and we did numbness to start. Last one, irritated gums. I don't have it.
Mm-mm.
But that's because I'm all about my dental game.
You're all about that dental game.
Yeah.
I think my gums are surprisingly good considering I don't floss.
No floss.
When I saw a dentist a year ago, which went well and made me be like, oh, I'm not coming back for another 20 years.
How long had it been for you? Because I think, Madeline, you were like a year ago too, and it was like...
Yeah, it had been... I had not seen a dentist in Los Angeles, so it had been like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I would probably say a decade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Since I had seen a dentist.
Yeah.
And you were able to trick him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, well, no cavities, no complaints. Yeah. Like, great, I guess I'll keep not seeing a dentist.
Yeah.
Wow, you beat the dentist.
Yeah.
I was humiliated when I went to my dentist after 5 to 6 years.
Yeah.
They went at me hard.
But that was mostly body image stuff. Right? Yeah. Your teeth are great.
He's like, your teeth are terrible. You're looking at my man boob. she went at me hard. But I also think that like I let on maybe a little bit too much. That I had not been practicing proper dental care, and then they're gonna go at you hard.
Yeah.
They're gonna remind you.
You gave them an opening.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of gave you what you wanted. I think you were like emotionally you were looking for someone to set you straight.
Yeah.
If you were leading so much with.
I was looking for a soulmate, and my teeth found one in Dr. Donna Lou. Love you, girl. I know you only think I'm okay.
Well, maybe she was disappointed in your she loved you, but was like, you're not going to take care of your teeth. This can't work out.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, Dr. Donna Lou, I will take care of my teeth for you. I know that you're married to a man who's better than me, but if he ever goes away, just know...
If he ever goes away.
I don't know
if he ever gets
smug,
then helps him out.
Yeah. Oh, definitely I would. Oh, okay. So we're going back and we're now assuming that it's Dr. Donna Lou's husband that's getting
Mr.
mugged.
Mr. Lou.
Oh, yeah. He's gone.
Dom
he's a goner.
Yeah, Dom Lou.
Yeah, he's a goner.
Dr. Dom Lou.
Dom.
Not even Don. Donna and Dom.
Donna and Dom. Dama and Dama.
Dama-loo.
Well.
So I'm at 6, I think.
Okay. So am I. Okay.
Me too.
Oh, we all tie at diabetes.
We all tie at diabetes.
Casey Treela, once again, we apologize.
I'm so sorry to anybody who has actual diabetes.
We have type 3 diabetes.
I know 2 Caseys who are diabetic.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Do we know the other one?
I don't believe you do, no. One of them's calling me right now.
So you...
Dom, I
So you... May or may not have diabetes.
Yeah, I mean, I 6 out of 10.
Yeah, and you get sick all the time. Is it always like kind of ear, nose, and throat type of stuff?
It's always tonsillitis.
Stuff?
Yeah.
But you're not a hypochondriac. You said.
No, I know my body pretty well. I think. Like if I feel it coming on, I know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like you couldn't be a hypochondriac. You're legit sick. Like we just think we're sick when we're not. You're sick.
Yeah, you're actually sick. Yeah.
I have like been like more frequently like, So you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but you like find things and want to see the doctor, right? Like that's kind of your thing with hypochondria, or like you worry about them and.
Definitely think I should.
Yeah.
I usually like worry about them and think about it for a long time until something else like takes up my anxiety real estate, and then I often forget about whatever I was worried about and worry about the new thing.
Yeah, I think you can hurt an anxiety one at a time. Like it's just like you just choose whichever one is most prevalent, and then
I like have things happen to me, and I just bottle them up and hope they go away.
Ooh, you like know what? I mean?
Like the tonsil thing, like my foot thing. I would bet I would see a podiatrist, and they'd be like, "Here is your easy solution."
Oh yeah, you could probably just get inserts.
Yeah.
Just get some orthotics. Pop them into any shoe you have.
Yeah.
You'll probably
I've tried with inserts and it didn't work.
Oh, well.
But close. I think I need probably, what's it called? Personalized inserts.
You live so close to the foot doctor.
Do you know that doctor's name? I looked it up because I was going to go to him.
Yeah.
His name is Dr. Shlomo Shmuel. Which I was like, oh, I'm definitely going. It's already the funny foot side that everyone knows about.
Those are like the two Jewish names for Samuel.
Yeah. His name is Samuel.
It's him, Sam the foot doctor.
His name is Sam Jew.
But like I saw that and I thought it was fake. I was like, that can't be right.
Yeah.
But I called them and tried to make an appointment, but I needed a referral with my insurance. Oh. I was like, I'm not making an appointment with another fucking doctor. It's already too much.
Mordecai sent me? that's great. That's never would have guessed it. But if you've ever been to Los Angeles, I feel like you know the foot doctor.
You know that, it's on Sunset, West Sunset, or
Silver Lake. Silver Lake.
Mm. It's that one side of the sign, the foot's sad, and one side it's happy.
Yeah.
It's a real metaphor for LA life.
It's a real metaphor for my 2 feet.
yours, it really is.
You do have one happy foot. And it's frowning.
You might recognize Dan from his feature film, My Left and Right Foot. But it's just a guy with 2 feet.
Yeah, 2 feet, one of them kind of hurts.
Do you bottle up emotional?
Oh, yeah.
As well?
Yeah. I do. I don't know that I bottle up, but I definitely don't deal with things.
Can you think of an example?
I mean, like all of my examples are probably relatively dark.
Great, bring them on.
If you're okay going there, we're okay going there.
I haven't since he died. I haven't cried about my dad's death in like 4 or 5 years. 5 years. That's probably something.
Yeah.
But it's like it doesn't.
He died 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And you haven't cried since he died?
Since when it happened.
So it happened and you found out. Tell me, lay out when you cried.
Okay. Let's see. So the story is kind of funny, actually. But there was a whole thing. My dad was older, so it was like he had a heart attack. He was in the hospital and we like knew he was going to die. And I have a half brother who is like conservative and religious, and they wanted my dad to get last rites.
What is that?
Like that is someone coming in, like a priest coming
in.
Oh,
yes.
And basically like blessing you before you die so you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And we were like, if we don't care, but we don't want him to have last rites. You know, it was like my side of the family was like Jewish atheists, essentially, like my mom's side. And he wasn't like religious at the end of his life, really. So it wasn't a huge thing, but it was like a thing that represented all of the things that are different between us and them.
Yeah.
And so like we all were in there. They were like his pulse is slowing down. Mm-hmm. Like so it was like me, my mom, my full blood brother, and then my like half brother, my half sister. And so it was like you know the pull like beep beep, and it was like dying down a little bit. And then literally right when as he flatlined, the priest walked in with like the best comedic timing I've ever seen.
Yes.
I was like, hello, I'm here to do last rites. I was like, well, you missed it, bro. And it was like so like pure, like, you know, just like the whole emotion of the moment. It was so crazy. My brother and I left the room and just hugged and started cracking up. we just started laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't have been better. It was like, it was literally like... Last chance to get last rites. Last chance to get last. You got no more opportunities. And I was like, here we go. I'm here. What do you guys need?
It was in what would have literally exactly happened in an improv scene.
Yeah.
About should someone get
last rites. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, without putting too fine a point on it, maybe that's Like, maybe that laughter was your tears. Like, maybe that's what you're – maybe that was
right.
the last – maybe that was a great thing that your dad did for you guys was to give you this, like, moment. Because tears is a release, you know?
Yeah.
And so is laughter.
Yeah.
And that's why they often sort of coexist, you know? Like, that we laugh at things that are so uncomfortable and we cry laughing, you know?
Yeah.
But that – yeah, maybe – I mean, maybe you're deprived of the tears and in the same way that this – goddamn priest was deprived of his God time.
Yeah.
And now you get to.
Yeah, that priest blew. It was one job was to make it there in time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree with that. I think one of the reasons, like, because I like to ask people how frequently they cry because I'm curious.
Yeah.
And I probably haven't cried in like 2 years, which is, I know, is weird.
Yeah.
But I laugh all the time, hard, very frequently.
Mm-hmm. What's the last thing that made you cry?
I can't think of specifically the last time I cried, but the last time I remember like weeping was after watching that movie Beginners, which is like about a guy's dad. But like that stuff, dad, like I cried when my dad was still alive, like in Spider-Man when Uncle Ben dies. I think that's a thing with men of like father.
It really got me. Yeah.
Father figures dying in movies makes you cry.
Yeah.
Especially like. That kind of – there was something about the Uncle Ben where it's like he's not even your dad. He just took you. He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then he died because of you.
Because of you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was –
that's – my dad died because he was robbed by a guy. And I chose not to stop him so I could go to do a wrestling match.
Yeah. I remember when you wrestled that night.
Yeah, yeah.
And was, you won. And,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, we didn't want to like take away from the celebration of your victory.
No. Thank you. By the way, I think it was important. What were you going to say, Madeline? Sorry.
Oh, no. Just that parent. I feel like I was like watching that like Tig Notaro show, you know, about her mom dying at the gym because I work out very hard. And I was like crying tears on the elliptical.
You were like tears and sweat.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you feel embarrassed? Like you had
no
instinct
to
turn it off.
No, because I go to an LA Fitness that's full of people who are like really only loosely tethered to reality.
Yeah. Like you choose to be around lunatics so you don't feel weird.
It's full of the craziest people.
And then, like because I used to go to the same gym. And then there's, like, some just, like, straight-up crazy people that we don't know. But it's also a lot of crazy people that we do know. I actually probably shouldn't say names. We'll just say them and then
say it and bleep it because I love listening to podcasts and hearing like a bleep that's not a curse
that's
word.
That's so funny.
Like, that's – you know that story of when of finding meditating?
Yeah,
that's that gym. That's our – one of the crazy people at our gym.
Was meditating at the gym.
The story
in the weights section. He was just sitting on the ground meditating.
Yeah, I feel like I can't go into this without him here to defend himself or make his point. But I'm going to anyway, and then he can speak up. But it's crazy. Was not sitting on the floor meditating. He was laying in the middle of a walkway in Shavasana, like in the laying down yoga pose, where you are just
That's
taking up the most space, relaxing.
That's our gym, baby.
That's our gym.
And he was in like Bill Russell shorts, you know, like 70s basketball short shorts, just like. That's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
You've got to at least be aware of why that is funny and weird.
So there's a lot of those types at
the
El Centro.
Yeah, but he was really doing it at a place where nobody would bat an eye.
Right.
Yeah.
Should we play
a
game?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Okay.
So this is a game called The Diabetic Dog. And we had thought it was that the dog was just like a metaphor for you, like that you would learn if you know about managing your own diabetes. But I think it actually is to determine whether or not you're fit to adopt a diabetic dog.
Oh, really?
Which would make sense because if it's about caring for a person's diabetes, the game is very oversimple.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So this is like the equivalent of like you carry an egg around for a week to see if you can have a kid.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
See this poor dog.
Oh my God, it is so sad.
It's the saddest dog.
I can't really read it. Can you, Dan, are you able to see it? I know you have blurry vision from your beaties.
We need someone to help us take care of the dog that has type 1 diabetes. would you like to take care of it? And
yes.
You can say yes or back.
Okay.
Immediately back down on it.
That's what you should be able to say when you realize you've made a personal commitment. You can't.
Back.
Back. Back.
And what's our dog's name?
Yeah,
we did a test
dog.
One of these. And we named it John Mackey, but John Mackey died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to kill someone I know.
No,
do I?
No.
It was that's why we shouldn't.
Maybe Dama.
Oh, Dama's a great name.
Dama-Lou?
Dama-Lou.
Your application is approved. You are now the official caretaker of the dog Dama-Lou.
So, yeah.
Now there's a manual. It's very
long.
Can
you hear them? It's fun music, too. Here.
Yeah,
that's what taking care of a diabetic dog sounds like.
Yeah.
Kind of like a creepy, like a the kind of carnival you have in the sequence in like a dream sequence in
yes.
a movie.
Yeah, where everybody's just like laughing all around. Yeah.
Folks at home, if you're looking for the highest level of technology involved in podcasts, here at Definitely Dying, we hold a microphone up to a laptop.
So now the dog's happy. Its tongue sticking out of its mouth. Its head is too big for its body.
Yeah. So it goes for a walk. So here's the question, Dan.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is
we
the
had
walking
a debate.
Music.
Now, is the dog following a bird that is our bird, or are we the bird?
Oh, that's a great question. Because you're moving the bird with your mouse.
Yeah.
I think it's our bird.
So, okay, it's our bird.
And we're using the bird to guide the dog's actions.
Well, you have a dog. Whenever you take your dog for a walk, you do just catch a bird
right.
and make it chase a bird, right?
Yeah, yeah. I make Stella. So walks are very hard for me because I can't catch birds very well. The dog just drank water, and now it had a hamburger helper thing in its brain. Like
see,
it's hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Or
so,
it wants
a bone.
Yeah. So
you have to
we
go
can
to
give
the
it food.
Store.
Okay, so I can give it food, insulin.
Yeah.
Go to the store. I can walk it. I can look at the owner's
I think
manual.
He wants food.
So, yeah.
You have
to go to the store.
Go to the shop.
If you know anything about us here on Definitely Dying, we don't ever look at the owner's manual.
No.
Not ever.
So we can give it
so
chicken,
Madeline,
broccoli. Oh.
Madeline's of the opinion that dogs like cake.
I tried it
you
yesterday.
Tried
I fed my dog a lot of cake.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a salmon.
That seems smart.
Yeah.
It's a good fat.
Let's see. Salmon. The delicious fish has a reddish... I know what that is. I know what salmon is. So we purchased it. Now we've dropped it on the ground, and the dog is dubious.
Oh, I forgot to mention, my dog died.
Oh.
just a real face on this thing.
Can you... And when it's really wild when it eats.
I think we need to give that dog some insulin.
Okay, let's give it some insulin.
So now you pull it.
I pull the insulin and then you
put it in his butt. Or his face.
I'm gonna do his nose.
It's a fun game, right?
Oh, it's not like that.
No. Guys, you'll start playing this game at home at Diabetic Dog, and you're going to think it's not fun. And then at some point, you're going to find that you've been doing this for like several hours, and you accidentally kill a dog. And if you're in my – what I noticed was the reason that my dog died is that I got so attached to it that I bought him a bowl, and the bowl cost all the money, and I couldn't afford to put any food in it. And
that's a great
that's
lesson.
That's a real gift of the Magi.
Lesson. Yeah, right?
Kind of, yeah.
To give you an idea of how I'm going to play this, when I played The Sims, I had a kid and I built four walls around him and took out the toilet and put a phone in there so he could call the fire department. But they would come and couldn't get into the room and then would reprimand him for calling them without an emergency and it would make him sad.
Dama-Lou!
That is psychological torture.
But then I also tried to get chicks to kiss each other.
So you're ahead of your time. Oh, no.
A new day has dawned.
Okay.
Would you like to save your progress now?
No.
Fast and loose, baby.
Yeah.
Let's start the morning off with the dog's looking pretty relaxed.
He either needs some insulin. By relaxed, you mean he's sick, unable to move.
Right. The shop music's fun.
I think he wants some honey.
Yeah.
Or soda. Let's give him honey.
Yeah.
Or soda, you think?
I don't think he wants the soda, but let's give it to him.
Uh-oh.
I just want to see him eat the can.
Your dog Dama-Lou has high blood sugar. Oh, it must have been that salmon. You should do something about it.
Give him that insulin. Well, okay.
No,
so
don't
yeah, this
give him a soda. soda.
Oh, the soda's gonna. The soda's probably gonna kill Damalu.
Oh no!
Give us some insulin.
Yeah, you gotta get that.
Oh,
insulin.
It's happening fast. Oh no! It's not working. It's not working.
Okay, it's working. It's working.
Okay. Did I give him too much?
No. Well, yeah, maybe. But now I think we need some food.
All right.
Let's give him. Let's. Should we give him
cake or steak?
The age-old question.
Cake or steak?
Cake or steak? Or is he more of a Domitello? We can give him some pizza.
You know what I say? Two in the cake, one in the steak.
Okay.
Get out of here and never talk to me again.
Why do you keep trying to kick me out of here?
So the steak is a vagina and the cake is the butthole?
I guess so. I don't really. I just stick fingers in places.
He's taking a piss. And he is happy. He's having some water.
Damalu!
Let's see. No, I don't want to look at my items. Do I walk him or do I give him some food?
Let's give him a walk.
All right. Whoops.
Oh, he wanted a pet. Manual.
Back to dog.
Let's give him a pet.
Pet.
So you just put your hand on top of him and rub it around.
Oh, I pet him so much he took a pee.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's what happens to me, too. Why did he make that sound?
Oh, I pet him too much.
Oh, my God.
He's standing up like a human now. let's see.
Oh, no, he's sad.
He's sad.
I think he needs some insulin.
Let's give him some insulin.
Oh, he needs a pet, too.
I was just petting him all over the place.
I know, and he was making it terrible.
He's dying. I don't think I'm going to help him. I think I'm going to give him some cake.
Yeah, let's give him a cake. And because it will, because we can get to the end part where you see what happens.
By the way, cake is $99.
Oh, he went onto his pillow to die.
He went on his pillow to die.
Oh, dog. Man.
Oh, this is sadder than it should be watching this little guy die.
I'm satisfied by this $99 cake.
Oh, he made it.
And now it's nighttime.
Yeah, that's an Obamacare cake for sure. We made some money. Now we don't want to save the game. No. Eat the cake, bro. Can I force him to?
Yeah, he's going to eat it.
Oh.
I bet it'll look like a terror when he does it.
Oh. Made a big mouth. Now he's got a fat tummy.
So he's going to die. He's basically going to die at the he's not going to die. He's going to go to the hospital.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
At the end
of
this day.
I can't afford that. I just bought him a $99 cake.
Oh, they just put him to sleep.
Oh, no.
$99 cake.
They really don't want you to let him die.
This feels so cruel.
Yeah, we'll give him a soda. He'll feel better. Oh, my rights were revoked.
That's what happened to me with my dog was, and that's how I found out that they were just literally trying to determine whether or not you were fit to take care of a diabetic dog.
Yeah. Well, I am. Whatever this game says. So give me your dogs, everybody. We have taken it to the hospital for emergency care. Your caretaker rights are hereby revoked, and your dog, Donna Lou, is now taken from you and erased from the diabetic dog game database.
The dog is taken from you. Hey, Donna Lou, say hi to John Mackey for us.
The Nobel Prize. You seem to know a little bit about diabetes and insulin to be caretaker for a dog sick with diabetes. If you want to be a caretaker for a dog with diabetes, you'd better read some more about it. Below are links to some useful reading about diabetes and insulin. Okay.
I guess.
All right.
Well, that was a fun game.
Yeah. I would highly recommend it.
Isn't that a great game? Yeah.
Diabetic dog.
Everybody's lining up for the next edition of Diabetic Dog.
The Nobel Prize winning.
Guys, we'll find a way to combine Diabetic Dog and Figure One. Dan, it was great having you on. Thanks
Thank
so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here.
Do you want to give any plugs?
Do I want to give any plugs?
You can tell them your Twitter, your Instagram, where you can find you.
I mean,
your address, your home address.
Yeah, I'm on the street with the spinny foot sign. You'll find me at Dr. Shlomo Shmuel.
You'll find him running into his property at the first sign of an automobile.
I always feel like plugging stuff for me is like pissing into the wind. Like, I don't, that's not even the right analogy, but there's no way of knowing if anyone actually looked at it, which is why I would do it.
Yeah.
It's like narcissism.
Right.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
You only plug stuff so people seek you out.
Yeah.
And then if you don't find out they seek you out, it's pointless.
Yeah. True.
So just tweet at me and tell me that you are aware of my existence.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
at
great.
Dan Libert.
Yeah.
At Dan Libert, tell him you're aware of his existence.
Yeah, yeah.
I see you, boy.
Hashtag, I see you.
Not I see you like the intensive care unit.
No, hashtag I see you.
Unless you think we really do have diabetes, in which case, let's give us an I see you.
Yeah. Go straight to intensive care.
That's great. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.